Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a, it's going to be a Sunday morning.
Yes.
On this one.
Just go ahead and throw it up.
I'm going to throw it up first thing Sunday morning because I want to let the post-game show have a little breath.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you like had a bunch of content? Like you just had like, I don't know, like let's say like just a bunch of content, right? You just threw it all up at once. Like spread it out.
I could imagine that.
Not the way I like to do things. We are want to thank all of our great listeners out there, especially our service men and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at over at the Mississippi Beef Council. I want to remind
you that
beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever, you know, today is the day that we don't like, right? Today is the day of daylight savings. So
I actually like the day of.
I like the morning.
The morning of where we get that hour.
Yeah, that's great.
But then having the sun go down at 4:30 is
3:45 when the cloud, you're like, oh.
Not fun. This is the depressing season.
If you're like me, you don't have any lights in your backyard, you got to fire up that grill a little bit earlier. Get those steaks cooked. But you can always just go to one of the great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. You should do that this week, sometime soon. Enjoy a great steak, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it is what's for dinner. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You're looking for the great new looks, new logos. You're looking for holiday gifts for the Bulldog fan in your life. Find them at College Corner. Not just clothes, either. We're talking about stuff for your car, your house, your tailgate, everything maroon and white under one roof. College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Florida by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Place to go is Restaurant Tyler if you want to get the best meal in town. When you're thinking about lunch in the city of Starkville, the Restaurant Tyler should probably be your first choice because, you know, you're a Southern person like us. You like a good blue plate. You get it at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meat, veggies, great cornbread. And if you're not a blue plate person, well, that's okay, too. They got plenty of sandwiches and salads for you to choose from. When you want to eat a great meal in town, it's really easy. Just head to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you, hey, this is how we're going to help you manage your money, how we're going to help you invest, how we're going to help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, when you have a question about your money, you need a quick answer. You can't afford to wait around like those big corporate banks make you do. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey, the win! Mississippi State 45.
Massachusetts. It's Massachusetts. I hope that we know Jennifer's not listening to this.
Steve Madden. Yeah. 20 was their tally. Should have been less. A very late touchdown flattered them just a tiny bit. A game that, when it started, Robbie and I were looking at each other like, this might be the end.
This is the stadium's about to collapse into the ground.
Like, I don't know what it was. As soon as when they hit that field goal to make it 10-0, all I could hear in the background was, the world is a vampire. It's like looking around like, is that Billy? Yeah, I was
still just a rat.
I was going to be a rat in a cage, but thank God it didn't come out that way. And I give a lot of credit to Jeff Lebby and to Coleman Hutzler.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they looked like a decent football team. Now, it's only for today. We'll see what the future brings. What does the future hold for Mississippi State? Can we take anything from this game? Well, One man knows for sure. Tell him, fuck! It's been a while since you've been able to really get into that well.
It's been, 8 weeks?
Yeah.
August 31st,
yeah,
2024 was the last time we got a full-throated hawk coming your way. So I'm excited about that. You know, I look at this game in the totality of it and not just like the struggles that they had in the first quarter. I look at it and it's a win. It's 45-20. Look, we're not even going to discuss the fact that it was UMass. Like, that's understood. Mississippi State had to have a win. They had to get back feeling good about themselves again. The first quarter was awful for the Bulldogs.
Really bad.
10-0. They had negative 9 yards of total offense. They've been outgained by well over 100 yards. And they answered the bell. They got back in the fight. And I thought when that first quarter happened, I was expecting Mississippi State to just start giving up and this being another Toledo or something like that. But to their credit, you come out and outside of the right before the half where State, I felt like State could have scored points, but, you know, outside of that, you scored on 7 drives in that 8-drive stretch and then ended the ball game. So essentially you scored on every single drive the rest of the way with the exception of that last drive of the first half. And then on the flip side, you got an interception and then 4 consecutive punts on defense. This is a defense that has not been able to get off the field this year. Other than interceptions, they haven't been able to get off the field. And in this game, they forced punts. Again, it's UMass. But 335 yards given up on offense on 78 plays. So, I mean, after that first quarter, I thought you started to see the defense kind of hone in a little bit and stop the gashing that we saw from the running game that UMass had. I thought it played really good football for the most part. Their best football easily since the Eastern Kentucky game. There's no coincidence that it ended up being a win for the Bulldogs. 6 tackles for loss on the defense, had 2 sacks. So they finally were able to get a little more pressure in this game. I didn't think penalties were a huge issue for State. And then on offense, explosive plays. You got explosive plays. You got some big pass plays from Michael Van Buren. You had 4 rushes for 30 or more yards, I believe
that's correct.
So the running game was outstanding, 8 yards a rush, and when you take away the sacks, you averaged 10 yards a rush. Mm-hmm. So the first down every single time you ran the football, that's pretty darn good. Not a whole lot to be upset about in this game. You know, this team is not going to be perfect. There's not another game where, you know, you're going to look at State and say they played flawless. I don't think that's possible for this team, just from the deficiencies that they have on defense and, you know, even some deficiencies on offense. I just think it's impossible for this team to play perfect football. It's impossible for most teams. But when you look at it and what's happened this year and you look at the struggles that Mississippi State's had at certain positions on offense and then everywhere on defense – to come out and finally get back in the win column and finally feel good again, I was really happy for those coaches and the players. And, you know, you have to take your little wins when you can get them. And this was a nice step for State to kind of just get back in the win column and have players for the first time in 2 months feel really good about themselves and go to bed on Saturday night happy. Because, I mean, even the close losses that you had against Georgia and A&M, I don't think that the players went home and were happy about that.
Nah.
You know, I think they've been striving to get a win, and you could see it on their faces post-game for the first time in a while that they were genuinely excited, genuinely happy. I'm pumped for them.
Yeah, this was a game where, I mean, this is one of those games that even if State's undefeated coming in, even if they're 4-4 coming, whatever the record is, it's just about getting a win here.
Yeah,
you know, and hopefully looking good doing it. You know, I think you and I, we both felt State was going to win this game. Now, it was much easier for State than either one of us thought it would be. And that's fine.
I thought this was a better game than they played against UMass in 2017.
Yeah.
When that team, you know, had won three or four straight games and was 7-2 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they played very well. There's been games against teams actually worse than Massachusetts. Oh, yeah. So, after that first quarter, I thought, you know, it was really good. I thought State played well.
But there was a scenario in this where if State had won 45-42, the players would have been content.
Yeah.
You and I would have had a lot to talk about. And as it is, we don't really have a lot to talk about on this one. They got the job done. They looked about as good as they can do doing it. And they're fine. And, you know, you're going to go forward and, you know, the rest of the season is just the rest of the season at this point. So let's move into the rest of the show. It's brought to you by our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. We want to remind you that when they are talking about printing, when we are talking about printing with a business, that is what gets your message to your customers. So if you aren't spending money with the best, you are wasting your money. Stop wasting your money and give Pip Printing and Signs a look. Call Cam Baker and tell him, hey, heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, want to see what you can do for me. He's going to put together a plan, and he's going to show you what your business has been missing. And, of course, the best part is if you're a Mississippi State fan, all you got to do is say the same thing. Heard about you on Thunder and Lightning. And 10% of your sale with Pip Printing and Signs goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative. So the Bulldog Initiative wins. Your business wins. We all win. Pip Printing and Signs, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. Two Brothers, I'm telling you, man, this new ad is messing with my brain.
You needed a change. You needed to challenge yourself a little bit.
Messing with my brain. Like, I just immediately want to start talking about College Corner again. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I'm going to be looking for some Two Brothers this week. I'm going to have to make that happen for myself. I by the way, Terry Barton, if you're listening, Robbie and I, we really need you to be open on Mondays. We always get lunch on Monday, but we can't ever come
just for us.
We can't ever get to Two Brothers because y'all aren't open. Please open on Monday.
There are several places that aren't open. Yeah. Restaurant Tyler. There's several places that aren't, and I understand it, but you know, it's really putting us in a pinch.
Could you just be closed, say on Tuesday? I don't mind Tuesday, but Wednesday, I need you on Monday. So I'm just saying. This is totally selfish for me and Robbie. That being said, even though you aren't open on Monday, you will be seeing Brian Haydad this week. He needs to get some Two Brothers, and they all probably needs to go to the older brother as well. Haven't been in a couple weeks, and gonna do that as well. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the older brother, two of my favorite restaurants in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing now for 50 years. 50 years. Do it again.
50.
When you need business technology, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's simply a phone call away. And they make it so easy. They don't make you sit on hold with a call center for 45 minutes. They aren't going to schedule an appointment with an out-of-state technician. It's all Mississippi people, so they can take care of your problems a lot of times on the same day. Your business can't afford to wait. You don't have to wait with Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. has the MSU gear you're looking for. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to get it. Best selection, great new logos, new gear that you can't find anywhere else. The Bulldog Initiative, it's only available at Maroon & Co. Save 15% on regular price with our promo code, THUNDER15. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games, make sure you head over to Maroon & Co. It's time now for it's almost an abbreviated version because we just don't have a lot today. But these are the things that are true. That is brought to you by our good friends over at Bell Building Supply. Robbie's decision to allow me to do this podcast on a Saturday night means I'm open for business tomorrow on the grilling. So the Big Green Egg is going to be in use, and it should be with you as well. If you are in the Golden Triangle and you want to get a Big Green Egg, your platinum Big Green Egg dealer is Bell Building Supply here in Starkville. They sell more Big Green Eggs than anybody else. They have all the expertise for you to get the top-notch grilling apparatus in your backyard. The holidays are coming up. If you're listening, you want to get Dad a gift that he will never forget. Get him a Big Green Egg from our friends at Bell Building Supply. I got five things that are true. Just five.
Not that bad.
And they are like the most vague, big picture stuff. I got nothing specific from this game, to be totally honest with you. Except for one. Number one, I take nothing long term from this game.
No.
In my opinion, Coleman Hutzler should still be gone at the end of the season. David Turner probably go with him. Most of the defensive staff probably go with him because if you hire a new coordinator, he's going to bring in his own people.
Yeah, if you get a new defensive coordinator, I don't think there's anybody that's safe.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's done just an overwhelmingly good job on that side of the ball.
Right. So I just don't take anything other than State desperately needed a win and got it.
Yep.
So I'll take it. I'll take that out of this game.
Which I think that's kind of what you were hoping for. I don't think there's anything State could have done that would make you feel significantly better about the future.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things they could have done that would make you feel a lot worse.
Yes.
And they didn't. They didn't do anything that really changed your opinion on them one way or the other. So that I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Agreed. I agree with you 100%. Number two. For the first time this season, I feel like State made adjustments and was able to get it done. Like, all season long, you go back to that Arizona State game, and we talked about that. We said, you know, Hutzler just kind of let him run up the middle until he got late into the fourth quarter. He's like, I guess we could change something now. Like,
I was already getting stops.
Yeah. It finally felt like this was, and I don't know what that adjustment was. Simple, maybe it was just simple, something as simple as they started playing better. But defensively, they were not where they wanted to be the first two drives of the game. And then they reeled off five straight stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who you're playing, and I know what I know all that. It doesn't matter. They haven't been able to stop anybody all year. So just to be able to get some stops to me was a big deal. And, again, it doesn't make any difference long-term, and I don't know that it's going to be something that State can build on. I don't think it's going to be – you're going to look up next week and they're playing much better defensively, and, you know, you hear the commentator saying, well, you go back to a week ago and they figured something out and now they're playing – I don't think any of that's going to be the case. But for one night, they look like a competently coached defense, and you'll take that.
Yeah.
You take that when you've been where you've been the past few weeks.
Yeah, finally got some pressure. I thought they brought some pressure.
Yeah, a couple sacks.
Defensive line got in the backfield a little bit. Linebackers were back there, too, making plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you finally started to see winning battles up front. You didn't see it in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And you and I are sitting there, and I'm saying, this is why I say this isn't just a talent issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with Mississippi State's talent deficiencies, you still should be able to win one-on-one battles against UMass. And they weren't doing it. They weren't winning up front. You know, they weren't winning in the defensive backfield. But they started to, I think, in the second quarter and beyond. They, mm-hmm. they finally started to win some of those battles they needed to win.
Yeah.
And they looked like an SEC team versus UMass.
Yeah. Yeah, which is all you could have asked for.
Yeah,
at this particular point.
UMass, by the way, going to play three SEC schools. They play Georgia.
They still have Georgia coming up, and they've already played Mizzou.
Yeah. So
hey, big money.
Yeah.
Number three. Watching the offense today, you can see what this team would be if the defense was just below average or kind of bad. Like, this team is good offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have some playmakers out there. Their offensive line still has some issues, but Van Buren is good enough to get around some of those. You've got good skill position guys. The play calling was good. I thought the best play call of the day was an incomplete pass. The little
Justin Ball.
Yeah, where he looks like he's going to run a little sweep there, and then he just pulls up and he's open and he just drops the pass. There's constantly guys open out there. You know, Van Buren has some trouble getting some of the passes, but He's just a freshman. I'm not going to hold too much to that. If they were just the thing we this is of things that are true, we said it all offseason, and we were absolutely 100% on the money. If they were just 80th in total defense, this would be a bowl team.
Yeah,
no question in my mind.
A lot of people have said like we need to start blaming the offense for some of this stuff too, and I kind of get that, but this offense was not going to be a well-oiled machine in year one.
Right.
The difference that
they're plenty good enough.
The reason why I don't blame the offense more often is because we've seen something from the offense pretty regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're scoring in the 30s. They're scoring in the 40s. They're hitting big plays. I expect them to have possessions where they're not clicking or you know, several possessions where it's not working. They had two possessions to start the game where they went three and out for -9 yards.
Yeah.
I kind of expect that from this team. You have a freshman quarterback, which we're kind of getting to the point where he's no longer a freshman.
Yeah.
I know, you know, he's going to be a freshman the rest of the year, but when you play 7 or 8 games and you're playing in the SEC, you kind of get past
that. At this point, yeah, he's as experienced as you could want.
Right. What we've seen from the offense is the evolution of this veer and shoot where the running game is starting to come along.
Uh-huh.
And whether it be offensive line getting better and run blocking or the running backs kind of starting to mesh into their role. I don't know what it is, but they are getting better.
Yeah.
You can see that. And I think this is the worst Jeff Lebby's offense is going
to
be. This offense, when he's able to have, you know, a year under his belt and he's got his guys in here and all that, it's going to be even better than this. And, you know, the yards, solid, 463, 241 on the ground, 222 through
balance.
The air.
Yeah.
You know, you would like for Van Buren's completion percentage to climb a little bit, and I think it will. But I saw, too, from him a, you know, kind of a getting over the hump a little bit as far as what he's doing in the run game and maybe whether it be, you know, the read option or whatever, that pull he had inside the five where the defense kind of crashed in on either Davon Booth or Johnny Daniels. He pulled it and he walks into the end zone. That's kind of what, you know, a few games ago I mentioned that. Like, I would like to see him get a little better in reading a defense in the run game. And when you see the defense collapsing on your running back, pull that sucker in and take off because he's got the ability to run and create some big plays in that regard. I don't want him taking a lot of hits, but I do think he needs to be more involved in the running game because he is capable of doing it. And only 14 yards on 9 carries, but he was sacked 3 times. If you take away the sacks, it looks a lot different and a couple of touchdowns. You start doing that, you start adding that element into it,
mm-hmm.
And you really start to see what the veer and shoot looks like.
Yeah.
Because the running game makes this all go. We saw 4 runs for 30 yards or more. This is what you expect out of this kind of offense.
Yeah. Number 4. The SEC is so even that there's just no reason State can't win one more game. Tennessee is not really getting the job done tonight with Kentucky, who's not good. Missouri is not great. The Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl. I will say this. Right now, I think Ole Miss is playing the best in the conference. Like they've played the last 2 games, their defense has just been a wrecking crew. And then today, Jackson Dart looked like the first pick in the draft. Like this was the best game he may have ever played. Georgia, I don't know. Texas, I don't know. Alabama, I just don't know. A&M's getting handled as we speak. By South Carolina.
I think it just changes week to week.
It really is. This is the most parity we've had in the SEC ever.
In college football.
Yeah. But, I mean, just in terms of...
Louisville's going to beat Clemson tonight.
I can't get over the SEC. Like, there's... You realize that right now Vanderbilt still has a path to the SEC championship game.
They do.
I mean...
Yeah, Vandy being what they've been, which is a good team.
Yeah.
This isn't like they just sprung an upset.
You know what they are? Team. They're like Mississippi State under Mullen. They're just like, hey, you got to watch out. They mm-hmm. can't beat you.
Yeah. They have a difference maker at quarterback, and they're very well coached, and they're tough.
Yeah.
I think like this.
State's going to be a huge underdog these next 3 games.
Mm.
But
especially Tennessee and Ole Miss.
Though there is not, there is a world where they could get one. I don't know if they will. I don't think they will, but they can.
Offense is going to have to be incredibly
on point.
They're
going to have a massive game.
Yeah. Yeah, and then your defense is going to have to get off the field a little bit, and that's kind of the struggle with this team. Like even today, early in the game, I was like, that first possession, they weren't even close to getting off the field. Mm-hmm. It never felt like in that possession that State was going to get off the field, and it didn't feel like that in the second possession until they stalled inside the 25 or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, they're not none of these teams are unbeatable.
Yeah,
you can beat all of them. I don't know how much confidence I have in Mississippi State to do it.
Right. Last one, number five. I can't explain this, but 2-10 just feels so much different than 1-11.
Yeah,
they're both awful records, and that State is going to be, statistically, that's what they're going to be predicted to be, is 2-10 in this one. But my God, it feels so much better to say you're 2-10 than 1-11. 1-11 would have been a really, not that this isn't a bitter pill one way or the other, but losing 11 straight. Maybe that's part of. Maybe that's what it was. I mean, if you go 1-11 and you get a win in the middle there, it's not as bad. But losing 11 straight would have been really tough.
Well, and another thing is, like, I've seen a lot of 2-10s turn into, New Year's Six 2 years later.
Yeah.
Or 2-10 to eight wins.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, like that 2-10 mark is something you can still come back from. 1-11. I don't know if you can come back from that.
Yeah.
But, I remember Ole Miss the 2010 year whenever Houston Nutt was just an absolute disaster. Or was that 2011?
Hmm.
Were they 2-10 in 2011?
2-10 in 2011.
And then 2 years later, they are in a – or 3 years later, they were in a –
They're in the
– 2 years later – wait.
3 years later, confused. They were in a
– Three. 2014.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah.
They went
from 2-10 to 6-6 to 8-5 to 10-3 or 9-3 or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not like, I think it's going to be difficult for State next year,
mm-hmm.
too. But in 2 years, who knows?
Flips. Yeah.
But, I look at, last year, I was looking here at Kenny Dillingham.
Mm-hmm.
He goes 3-9.
Yeah.
And if State can get to that third win, I think we're talking differently about
totally
this team.
Oh, it's totally different. Especially if they win one of these last three, yeah, for sure.
But Dillingham was 3-9 last year. He's 6-2.
Yeah.
And
Ted
I think
Fitch at Arizona is another good one.
Yeah,
He was 1-10.
I think that this can be comparable to Arizona State.
Yeah.
I don't know if State can go 6-2 in first eight games next year, but I do think that they can go from being a complete rebuild to being a successful program in a year or two.
Calm down over there. All right. It's going to be okay.
I'm just, it was a little Freudian slip.
All right. Well, there you go. That's all.
I did that for a press conference ahead of the College World Series in 2021.
Success. Okay.
I said that while talking to Tanner Allen.
Oh,
and his eye twitched.
I bet it did. So did mine.
I still have a video of that.
Me and TA got something in common. Well, being successful is very important, as you know. Let's, if I can get the, I know. I'm trying
oh, to, what a buzzkill.
I'm trying to get
the,
I have like six tabs open.
This is why we need a producer.
It really is, on top of everything. Anyway, let's talk about something important. Any second now, it's going to be something important happening.
We're going to talk about it.
We are going to talk about it when it happens, too. We got to get some.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by the good folks over at Strange Brew Coffee House. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Gravestown.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy strange brew
That'd be good
coffee.
for Halloween.
Yeah, it would have been. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee. Enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. We got a lot we got to do here on this. We got to get some video editing software happening or something.
We'll figure it out.
I mean, we are flying by the absolute seat of our pants.
That's the best way to be.
Yeah. You know, despite the fact that they were better today, they still weren't great. So defensively, no, Coleman Hutzler, you're still coffeeless, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah, and we're still not ready to do a playmaker. I don't think either.
No,
if it's a side.
No.
The people were pointing this out today. I've never noticed it. I don't know if it has been a thing or not. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should have looked more of it. But like taking Isaac Smith out on third down happened
a lot. Yeah,
and I don't know. You know what the purpose was for that. I don't know if it's a certain package they're running or what, but any package without your best defensive player doesn't make sense.
On third down.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
And one of them was third and goal.
Yeah.
So what? Like that's the guy you want in there playing in the box. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
It's a strange year, man. This has been the strangest year for Mississippi State defense, I think.
In the SEC, I'm really tempted to say Texas A&M at this point, but this game's not over yet, so I would.
Yeah, you don't want to look like a dummy.
I want to look like a dummy. So I'll pick the easy one. Oh, hey, you. Hey, you. This is.
We all knew this was going to happen, too, whenever Vanderbilt beat Alabama.
Yeah.
My very first thought was. Yeah. Diego's going back to the scene of the crime.
I was saying that back in like the summer. I was like, I mean, Pavia is going back there.
So Jerry Kill is on staff.
Yeah. They're going to go 3-9. And that's assuming they beat ULM, which I mean is not.
If you lose to ULM, his job is in
jeopardy.
He's
in real danger at that point. At 3-9, he's on the hottest seat in America coming back.
Yeah.
He supplanted Napier. Napier today losing his second quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's a guaranteed he's back next year. Because they can't – what can he do in these last three games?
Yeah.
You can expect anything from him.
I think he was leaning that way anyway.
He was leaning towards that because they've been playing a little bit better.
They probably should have fired Napier
– last year.
Before the state game.
They should – well, here's they had a bye week after the state game.
If they would have lost, they would have fired him.
They would have.
I still stand on that.
They could have fired him anyway.
Now you're kind of like stuck.
Now they're stuck with him another year. But Auburn is just miserably bad. I wish State played them because they're so bad offensively. I would love to see where the real problems are.
Yeah,
they're just.
I have a feeling they would score a lot of points.
Yeah, probably so. But they're just not good.
Their defense is solid.
It's good. They have enough talent on that team to be much better. But
I really wish State could have got DJ Durkin.
Yeah,
I think we're talking differently about. I think this defense still would have been bad, but it probably would have been closer to 2020 Ole Miss bad.
Agreed.
When Durkin took over, which that team got better, I think, as the year went on. But this is rough.
They are not good, and they're like I said 3-9, and he's worse than Harsin was at this point.
I would like to talk to these people who own. Friday, I think it was, whenever they hired Jared Banco, which I think is a great hire. I love Jared Banco. But when I mentioned on there, like, you know, Auburn is basically Mississippi State's athletic department at this point. Their entire athletic department is almost totally Mississippi State employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have Auburn people tweeting at me, yeah, but our athletic department's better. Like, well, I mean, you have the resources that you have, and you hired a guy that's been successful in the SEC, and he's won 9 games in 2 years combined. So, and that's the money that you're spending and the people that you're really competing against, which is in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the return on investment's extremely high right now.
Not great.
The equestrian team's really good.
It's fantastic. They really are. And the gymnastics aren't bad.
Golf team,
yeah,
I think. So, they got a nice
Tennessee's
baseball.
Only up 3 in the fourth quarter.
I had this conversation with John Sokoloff before I left. We were talking about. He asked earlier today, "How did Ole Miss lose to Kentucky?" And I really feel like Kentucky, what they do defensively, because they can get movement up front,
mm-hmm.
And also, you know, they cover fairly well. Their defensive backs did a really good job against Ole Miss. I think that's like the defense you don't want to play as an up tempo offense.
Yeah.
Like with the tempo that both those teams play.
Yeah.
That's not a great matchup if you're able to get the you know, push up front.
That's some more good news for John. It looks apparently Embiid shoved a reporter tonight.
Oh gosh.
Get Philly Dave on.
I gotta hear Philly Dave has to say about this. Whenever we did our interview with Philly Dave a couple weeks ago, we turned the cameras off. He's like, "So, where's all this stuff going?" I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna send it to Philly Sports Talk."
Yeah,
and let him hear a little bit about Philly Dave.
Yeah,
and his dream is to be a Philadelphia sports radio talk guy, and he just started talking to us for like 10 minutes about Philly sports, Phillies, the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a big fan of Embiid.
No, he's not.
So, yeah.
All right. Nationally, you know, prior to the season, we said the Big 12 was going to be like this chaos conference. It has delivered. And so today, Iowa State and Kansas State both go down. Iowa State loses at home to Texas Tech. Kansas State on the road, but to Houston, who's been awful this year. Kevin Barbe
bombs.
Got it done. One undefeated team left in the Big 12. It's BYU of all teams. So the chances of the Big 12 being a two-bid league to the playoffs are very, very low right now.
BYU, a Mormon university with a Jewish quarterback.
Yes.
It's the American – it's Team America.
Melting pot.
It really is.
Yeah, just soak that in.
5-0 in the Big 12. Is this their this isn't their first year in the conference, is it?
Second year.
Okay.
Last year was their first year.
That's a program that has been sneaky good for a long time. The 80s.
Yeah, if you told me a second year team in that conference was going to be competing for the conference championship, I would have guessed Central Florida.
Yeah.
Would not have guessed BYU.
Colorado is much better than we expected.
I got some news for you. There's a really easy path for Colorado to go to the college football playoffs.
Yes.
They're there.
Colorado and BYU could be your Big 12 championship.
Oh, my gosh.
And who's going to receive the WWE belt?
Yeah.
Because the WWE now, like, sponsors the Big 12 championship or something.
Iowa State losing at home was just embarrassing. Kansas State, at least you're on the road. God, Iowa State.
Texas Tech's okay, but
They should not be winning in that game in Ames. So, Big 12.
Oklahoma State, by the way, has turned out to be really bad. I figured it out. We gave Arkansas way too much credit. They've racked up the majority of what they did offensively against bad teams.
Yeah.
They did against Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And who's the team they played first? Arkansas Little Rock or something?
Yeah. Arkansas Pine Bluff or whatever they are.
They're total frauds. I don't know if they're frauds. Did we ever think that they were actually good?
We thought they're better than we think. Okay. Well, they'll beat Louisiana Tech, so they're going 6-6.
Sam Pittman is just like...
That's what you want if you're a Mississippi State fan, though. You want him to keep Pittman.
Keep him, yeah.
You don't want Petrino being the head coach.
No. So.
Oh, well. All right. Tomorrow's show, we've got Jeff Lebby's press conference. We'll have our picks where I am now 4 behind.
It's a bloodbath.
Thanks, Hogs. Yeah, now... I may play defense the rest of the way. I should just keep it. I was like, you know what? It's over. Also, a friend of mine texted me about this tonight. Like, I don't know what we're going to do with future Brian because we've got basketball on Monday, but I can't. I don't know what to do. So we might not have a recap of basketball on that podcast. I don't know yet.
Well, you might just not have it on the YouTube.
Yeah, I mean,
you could probably add it in on the
podcast. That's actually not a terrible idea there, Robbie. That like when I sign off, be like, hey, if you need a recap for basketball, you need to go to the actual podcast.
For now, like some of the things we do on here is going to be restricted.
Yeah.
Like we just can't, it can't be produced the same.
We'll get it figured out. We're going to figure it out. We're a multi-million-dollar company. We'll figure it out.
Yes.
All right. Guys, have a great weekend. Talk to you again on Monday for Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning. You're on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.